This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Tanine Bradford, and on behalf of the COPS office, I'd like to introduce to you Dr. David Altshuler, a principal research scientist with Johns Hopkins University and a national reentry expert. He's here to talk with us today about juvenile reentry. This is part two of the juvenile reentry series. It's very, very interesting to hear about the different kinds of kids that are going out because you're right, there's a lot of assumptions being made. So in the interest of public safety, because you mentioned that it really is significant in how decisions are made, how can law enforcement be involved with juvenile reentry? And what are some examples of how law enforcement can build strong community-based partnerships to support effective reentry initiatives?
I think without question, there is a role for law enforcement that can be very, very beneficial in this. Now, as I said earlier, there's going to be some jurisdictions that unless there is a problem that results, law enforcement may not become involved because where there's a system where the supervision, the post-release supervision is being handled by a community aftercare worker or by a probation or parole worker. It may well be that law enforcement, in the way we might think of it, may not really play a role unless there is a real serious problem that results. It seems to me that in many instances, that's not a very good way to proceed, and that law enforcement can be brought in a very positive way if it's done with the right mindset. But I think we have to be careful about this. So one example I would give you is that we really need to sort of break out of the stereotypical role of the law enforcement officer as the enforcer. And I think we've got really good models in terms of what's happening with community policing in a number of jurisdictions around the country, and also something like where police departments or sheriff's departments are involved in athletic leagues. They're involved very proactively and constructively with young people, that they don't only get involved when there's a problem, but they're also involved in a major way when things are going well. And it seems to me that that's a really important relationship, and that the positive relationship that can be developed between a law enforcement officer and a youngster who's coming out of a correctional facility or out of an out-of-home placement who's involved in juvenile justice can really take a very different turn if we don't simply have law enforcement as the enforcer, as sort of the quote-unquote bad cop who only gets involved when things go wrong. Seems to me that's really taking things in the wrong direction. Now, as I said, I think that there's a good model with regard to what's happening with community policing in a number of jurisdictions that would be useful for our thinking about how we can get law enforcement involved in reentry in a positive way and not merely as when something is going wrong. The other thing is, it seems to me that, and this is really related, is that we really need to incorporate incentives and think about what motivates young people and not simply rely on consequences as a way to get them to be compliant. And with specific respect to law enforcement, it seems to me, and this is consistent with what's happening, I think, in a number of jurisdictions of community policing. It's not just law enforcement officers who are there when things are going badly and there needs to be a consequence, or there needs to be somebody there who's going to stop something that's happening that's not good. It seems to me that law enforcement, just like parole officers or community supervision officers and others, can get involved in very positive ways and not simply be there to sort of be the person who's delivering the consequence or the sanction. And the truth is that if the person who's going to get involved in the consequence is also the person who's involved in the development of an incentive and a positive reinforcement, I think there's the potential for them having a more powerful impact on the consequence side because they've developed a relationship and they've also worked with the young person in terms of providing incentives and motivations. Sometimes that relationship between a law enforcement officer or any other worker or any other volunteer and the young person may do just the trick. I know when I was growing up, guilt was an enormous motivator for me. And I would just feel terrible if I did something badly and I was being sort of held accountable by somebody who I knew cared about me. If the person who's holding me accountable is someone that I don't respect and I don't think is really acting acting in my best interest, then I think it stands to reason that that person's impact on you is not going to have a very positive effect. The last point that I'll make about this is it really seems to me that what we're trying to do with these young people is to have them internalize pro-social behaviors and thinking. And that doesn't happen when all they learn is make sure you don't screw up when somebody's watching. They have to develop the internal capacity and the self-regulation to be able to deal with temptation and negative influences. And that means that it's not only going to be when somebody's there watching you, you're going to need to develop that. So if what we train them is to behave when a law enforcement officer or somebody else is watching them, it seems to me we're actually teaching them the wrong lesson. That is not what we want them to learn. What we want them to learn is that there are going to be other reasons besides behaving yourself because someone's watching to behave yourself. Otherwise, as soon as no one is looking and no one is watching, you're going to go right back to where you were before. You know, a lot of this, I think, is very common sense, but there's things that develop over time where we tend to think in a different way that takes us away from common sense. But it does seem to me that these are examples of the way that we can engage law enforcement in very positive ways. And it's also an example of ways that I think law enforcement could actually have a very negative influence on what's happening with young people and may make a situation a lot worse. And we have to really be very careful about that.
It's very, very in-depth process. And I think you're so right on common sense. And as we get older and we evolve, because we are all young people, we make things complex because life is complex.
Right.
And sometimes we neglect to think about how we pass that on. Just kind of concluding the interview and future thinking, what are the resources, tangible, intangible, that are needed to bridge this gap? So you've got really good models out there, but then you have some gaps, and you talked about that between law enforcement and juvenile justice practitioners responsible for implementing juvenile reentry initiatives and programs. So how do we do that? How do we get them talking and playing at the table for the sake of planning for kids' return and having positive outcomes?
Sure. I mean, I think there's a number of things we can do. For one thing, it's not just about communication. I mean, a lot of times we hear about creating partnerships and collaboration, and we sort of just get stuck in the communication level. Communication is a necessary but not sufficient set of conditions to actually create a really good team and collaborative effort. So it's not simply about communicating, but it's about making sure that we have a shared vision and we agree on what it is that ultimately we want to accomplish and how we're going to do that. Because we can be communicating, but we still may not be collaborating. And we could be communicating, but we still may not be coordinating very well. So it seems to me that we sometimes get stuck in communication. And there's any number of places that I've worked where it seems like they spend years and years and years on trying to figure out how to communicate, and they never get past it. In fact, they never even really get communication down very well. So forget about actual coordination and collaboration, because they're really not talking about a shared vision and philosophy about what they want to accomplish and how they're going to accomplish it, because they're getting stuck in how you do basic communication, and they never get past that. The other thing that I would say that's really, really important is to basically draw upon law enforcement officers, when we're talking about the law enforcement piece, who have expertise, training, qualifications, specifically with adolescents. In the old days, and I'm sort of showing my age here, there were actually in police departments all over the country a lot of juvenile divisions. Very few of those are left. For all kinds of reasons, we abandon that. It seems to me we need to go back to that. It doesn't necessarily have to be an entire juvenile division within a police department. Some of the police departments and law enforcement agencies are very, very small. But it seems to me that we need somebody who's got specialized training and understanding about what's going on in terms of adolescent development. We know from a lot of really good research on neuroscience that there's a lot of things going on with young people, especially early and mid-aged adolescents, that if we don't have a really good understanding about, we as adults misinterpret what it is that we're seeing. And it happens a lot. From a law enforcement point of view, it seems to me, if we can get at least an officer if not potentially a group of them, if the department is large enough, with training and background and qualification specifically around adolescents, that we'd be in a much better position to be able to intervene in the most productive and constructive ways possible. It also seems to me that these law enforcement officers that are going to focus on adolescents sort of really need to have a very great interest in young people and kids. And let's face it, and this isn't just about law enforcement officers. There's some people that just do not have the patience, the tolerance, and the interest in dealing with teenagers. They sometimes are a tad on the demanding side. And it seems to me that especially when we're talking about people in positions of authority, that they really need to understand and be open to sort of interpreting what's happening with what can be pretty impulsive and rebellious young people. Not because they pose a threat to public safety, because this is kind of the way their brains are hardwired for a while, and we've come to understand a lot more about that. So I would urge that there be training and that there be expertise in dealing with adolescent development, not only among law enforcement folks, but among all people who deal with children. And then it also seems to me that as a part of that, cultural competence is really, really key. I think we need to understand a lot about where these young people are coming from in terms of who their role models are. And a lot of that is actually tied to race and ethnicity and gender and sexual orientation. And that needs to be built in and handled in a very, I think, compassionate and understanding way, or inadvertently we're going to be creating more and more problems for young people. We know that the transition to adulthood for young people, whether they're involved with juvenile justice or not, is a very tough time. And so when you've got an added burden of the justice system that's also intervening, we have to take special effort to make sure that we understand and don't lose our own sensibilities about what it takes to deal with adolescents. So from a law enforcement point of view, if we've got people who have training and they have an understanding in terms of how to intervene with young people, how to have the most potential beneficial impact on young people, and we also have a cross-training where we've got law enforcement people involved in teams dealing with some of the other folks with other specializations with an expertise on adolescents, that we're going to be in a much better position to much more positively and constructively impact these young people.
You have given enough to go on for a whole nother couple of days regarding all that you've shared with us today, and we are so appreciative, Dr. Altshuler, of your time and your expertise, and we'd like to thank you on behalf of the COPS office for your time today, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you more in the near future. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice COPS office. The COPS office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.